You're listening to Beyond the Ribbon, a podcast of the Cancer Survivorship Center, powered by 24 Hours in the Canyon. This podcast is brought to you by Auto Inc. Auto Inc. is a distinguished family of dealerships redefining automotive excellence. Be sure to check out their website at autoinc.com.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Beyond the Ribbon. My name is Ryan Parnell, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host and oncology nurse, Pam McMillan.
Hey, Ryan. How are you today?
Pam, I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. How about you?
Pretty good. It's a little cold, but hey, hopefully summertime will be here before we know it. You know, it's funny, every time that we sit down to eat supper, we always eat as a family, and we have the TV on, and it never fails that we see a commercial for Balance of Nature fruits and vegetables. And I always think, do you think it really works? Like, is that a good source of all of our fruits and vegetables?
Well, if you listen to those commercials, the answer would be it absolutely 100% is worth spending your money on, right?
Yes, but then you have to really think, does it work? Where's the research? You know, there's so many supplements out there that, you know, I don't even pretend to know about, but I think we have somebody that can maybe help us understand about supplements, especially with cancer survivors.
Yeah. You know, when you start listening to things and you Googling and you see those things and you wonder, does it even work? They're telling me it does, but how's it going to work with my cancer treatment? That's the big question. And so, yeah, we're super excited to have a returning guest. She's been on our podcast before. We have Julie Langford. She's a registered dietitian nutritionist, board certified specialist in oncology nutrition. She's the wellness director at Cancer Services Incorporated. She's an author, and she's also better known as the cancer dietitian. Julie, how are you?
I am good. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we are so glad to have you join us again. You know, we mentioned Pam that she's been on our podcast before. I would encourage our listeners to go back and search and find Julie's episode on does sugar feed cancer cells?
It's a hot topic.
Very hot topic, still very relevant. Lots of great information. And challenge you to go back and find that, because I know that's a myth sometimes that gets thrown around, right, Julie?
Yes, I would call it the number one myth.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole nother story. Maybe we need to have Julie come back. I'm sure there's some new information out there, but today we're going to be talking about evaluating the effectiveness of dietary supplements. And I think, Julie, that probably opens up Pandora's box when we're talking about evaluating the effectiveness, doesn't it?
Yes. Right. So, because that assumes that there's something to evaluate, which is always a challenge, I think, with nutrition, is, you know, that it's hard to do nutrition research. And that's what we're kind of talking about when it comes to evaluating, like, what is the data that we have? So I do encourage people, of course, to like, look in and find out what kind of data they can get. But always remembering that in the context of nutrition research, you know, we want the research to be done in actual humans. And trying to do research on humans is very frustrating. You know, we've made tons of great advances in terms of cancer treatments and all of those kinds of things. So research has been super helpful. When it comes to diet and lifestyle, it is difficult to do that research because you might put a whole group of people on a trial and tell them to eat a certain way. And guess what? They don't eat that way. Nope, they sure don't. And that really messes up your trial.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this, but some things there is good solid data for or against. And then a lot of things you are sort of left as a consumer with a brain and some common sense to weed through and kind of figure out what your best next steps are regarding, you know, whatever that product or thing that you're looking at.
So let's start with the basics. What is a dietary supplement?
So typically, you know, a dietary supplement is a pill or powder form of one particular nutrient or substance. And so the way that, you know, I think of it is actually it's a little bit like the most processed version of food that you could find, because, and it's typically only one component of a food, right? So let's take a beta carotene supplement. They've extracted just beta carotene from a food item and put it into a product that can be packaged and sold. So to me, that's like very processed version of food. And there are certain, you know, uses for dietary supplements, especially when someone has a deficiency. It is difficult to cure or, you know, get nutrient levels back to normal if they're extremely low just by food form of nutrition. And so that's when those nutrition or dietary supplements can be useful. So it would be a dietary supplement if it's providing nutrients, versus something like an herbal supplement, which is taking an herbal component of typically a plant and putting it into a pill. And that's different because, you know, nutrients are generally required for our bodies to function, whereas herbals may, you know, assist in different types of functioning, may or may not, depending on the plant, but it's not an essential piece of our body functioning. So when we talk about, you know, nutrition or something being nourishing, it is typically meeting some kind of functional need that your body has in order to do what it's designed to do.
So when you said you have a deficiency, right? So I may be stating the obvious here, but most likely I'm not able to determine on my own if I have a deficiency.
Right. You might have a hunch, like, right. Oh, I don't feel right. I'm tired, or, you know, my hair is not right. My nails seem weird. Yep. You know, I'm achy, or different things that would ideally prompt you to go see a expert in medicine. And then
Bingo.
They are saying, and you might say, hey, you know, I have the history in my family of iron deficiency, or I don't know, something just feels right. My back hurts. And I don't know, my uncle had vitamin D deficiency. Like, you, it's fair for you to advocate for yourself and help your medical team to sort of know extra insights that you might have. So let's say, you know, you're thinking this is an ache or an issue, might be a deficiency. I think it's perfectly appropriate to suggest that to the medical team and say, is there any possibility I have some kind of deficiency, nutrient deficiency? And then they can run levels and check your blood. There are, you know, a lot of cancer patients are getting labs done pretty frequently, and some nutrient levels are standard on your, you know, CBCs or whatever. But some, you know, to check for some deficiencies, it might require extra testing. Vitamin D would be an extra test. Your hematocrit and hemoglobin could be in a normal range, and you could still be deficient in iron. So that might require an extra iron check with ferritin or an iron panel. So there are some extra tests that you might need to have done to get certain nutrients looked at. But a lot of nutrients are probably being monitored just in your regular, you know, whatever, check-ins with your doctor or pre-chemo blood work or all those types of things. But even with your primary care physician, I think it's fair to just, you know, every couple of years or once a year is to say, can we just do a check of some basic nutrients and make sure that, you know, my levels are normal?
So in a nutshell, it is not your choice your decision if you're deficient. It needs to be led by your medical team.
Yes. And ideally you have an objective measure. That's right. Best case scenario, you have some kind of objective measure that is showing you that you have a deficiency.
But the normal population should be getting all their nutrients from what they eat, not from a pill.
Yes. And most people can. You know, during treatment, it can be challenging, or I say seasons of life may prevent you from getting adequate nutrition through food. And that might be seasons of childhood where someone's just a really, really picky eater. It can be seasons of cancer treatment where you are just not really able to eat at all. Or you can only eat milkshakes and you feel like, yeah, might not be quite meeting my nutrition needs. Some people will go through periods of undernourishment because they just cannot eat enough. And those are times where, you know, you would want to monitor your nutrient levels, and you might consider something like a general multivitamin to just top things off. Now, if somebody is, let's say, head and neck cancer, and they are having to sustain their nutrition with a feeding tube, their formula is going to be fortified with all the nutrients they need. So, you know, that there are ways essentially to get these sort of supplements in the, into some of the medical nutrition food is what we call. So medical food, which would be a tube feeding or even something like Ensure or Boost. It has those things built in. So that's the other challenge, is if you are adding, you know, dietary supplements to your day, you need to make sure that you are checking all the sources, because you don't want to overdose on those. It's just hard for your body to process if you're giving it really high doses of any particular nutrient. So if you're taking Boost or Ensure, and then you're taking a multivitamin, and then you're taking some other supplement that you haven't really looked very closely at, it's possible that that combination could be just giving you too much.
Are all supplements the same?
No. So the supplement industry is really big business in the US. I don't know. The last thing I heard, which was probably 10 years ago, was like $6 billion business. So who knows what it is now? But the point is, it is a high profit margin business, and it is very low regulation. So our food industry is regulated pretty tightly. Our pharmaceutical industry is regulated pretty tightly, and our dietary supplements is not regulated almost whatsoever. The only time that there will be a warning about a dietary supplement is if there were enough adverse reactions reported to the government that they issue a warning. There's no proactive review of these products that you can buy on the shelf. So I think a lot of people are not aware, you know, what sort of regulations are in place to help keep our food supply safe. And I do trust them. So I very much trust our food supply. I do not trust the supplement supply, because they don't have as many checks to have to go through. So that said, it is very dependent on you as a consumer, if you're going to look into taking a product, that you spend time and do your diligence checking into the brand that you're buying, the particular, you know, nutrient or herbal that you would want to get, how much of it, because, you know, of course, they're going to put on the label how much you should take. And what is the point of the, you know, seller of these pills? They're not as worried about your health. They want their profit, you know, margin. So, I wouldn't trust what's on the bottle. I would double check with a third party, to make sure that you think that, you know, what you're getting is what you think you're getting.
When you, I read one of your blogs and listened to, a webcast that you did, and you listed a number of questions that we as consumers, especially those going through cancer treatment, need to consider. We know when they're trying to determine, should I do a supplement? Do I need this supplement? And things like that. So if it's all right with you, I'm going to ask those questions and let you kind of divest those to our listeners, because I think it's very important. Now, I will tell our listeners, I think it's important too. You may want to have pen and notepad standing by, and we'll do our best to try to list a lot of these resources in the notes. But there are some very, very great resources that Julie has. You know, we've also had done a podcast, Pam, one that was very interesting on how in the world do you find reputable, good sources on the internet? And it's not always Google.com.
Probably the last source you should go to.
That may be the last source. Yeah.
Or know what keywords to use in your Google search.
Yes. That's right. So make sure you have your pen and paper handy. So let's see, Julie, You said we need as consumers to be concerned of, is it supported by objective research that suggests a benefit? That's a really right. hard question. Like, how do we find, because you just said it's not mandated, it's not controlled, you just don't know.
Yes. Yeah, so there's a couple of places that you can go to as a consumer. One is Memorial Sloan Kettering. They have an About Herbs and Dietary Supplements website. And I think they also have an app. I recently used it when my dad sent me a question about something. You know, I don't have this like encyclopedia in my head knowing every plant nutrient ever. And so I have to go and look these things up. And so the Memorial Sloan Kettering About Herbs database, it's very useful. You can go on the just a regular website or the app, and it pretty much boils it down for you in terms of what research has been done, what are the conclusions. And then I also do recommend the Natural Medicines database, although that does require a subscription. So sometimes, like, I have it as part of my oncology dietitian membership. Some other medical providers will have access to that database. You can, as a consumer, if that's something you're interested in, you can purchase a membership to it. But again, that one will also look by brand. So Memorial Sloan Kettering site will tell you about the actual nutrient or herb, but they're not going to tell you if a brand is reputable. The Natural Medicines database, you can search by brand. So that it kind of helps, I don't know, get you a little bit more information. You know, you can do your own searches. You know, you can use Google and put Google Scholar or PubMed and try to find the data. But evaluating research studies is very hard work. It takes a lot of time. You kind of have to know what all these weird numbers mean. And I find it very difficult to boil down one study's conclusion for anybody. You want the evidence to be that multiple studies were done on the same, you know, nutrient or product showing benefit, because one study doesn't give us the full answer. Once you do a study and it shows potential, you want to replicate that study. And you want those studies to be done in people. So if you do an internet search on research, you might pull up studies that are done in petri dishes, or they're done in rats or mice. Yes. And that is not, it's good for research to inform the next step, but it is not useful for consumers to make their own, you know, decisions regarding what to put in their bodies. So I prefer to just go to these clearinghouses that I trust and look at what they know, and start there. Like, what do we know for sure? Is there harm and is there benefit?
Mm-hmm. The second question you had was, is there a chance a supplement could be harmful? How do we know?
So when you're on those clearinghouses or databases, you will know if it's listed there. It says, you know, contraindication, right? So that just means don't use if. And if it was like across the board, people should not use this, you know, it would be stated there. Any cautions? It might say people with high blood pressure shouldn't use this, or the benefits seen have only been in people with this particular condition, so that, you know, the consumer can look in and figure out, well, that applies to me or not. And so, you know, if you have multiple issues going on with your health, remember that you have multiple issues, that you're not just looking in regards to cancer. If you're somebody who has been diagnosed with cancer, but you also deal with high blood pressure and some blood sugar management issues, since you've got all those things going on, you need to make sure that if you're going to try something, it's not affecting any of those potential issues.
What about just asking your doctor or your pharmacist, you know?
It can be a good choice. Every individual practitioner is kind of going to have their own, like, how much do they stay updated? As a dietitian, I will say there's plenty of other healthcare providers that don't have our expertise who think they know the most recent information about nutrition, and they, bless their hearts, just are not up to date. And it's not because they're intentionally trying to do something that's, you know, off course. It's just, that's not what the world they work in. So yes, some pharmacists are really great to know, especially interactions between any prescription medications that you take and an herbal supplement or dietary supplement. I think pretty much any pharmacist should be able to answer that question for you. Wherever you get your medications filled, you should ask them, is there anything that I need to know that I should or shouldn't take with this particular medication, right? When you pick up your meds and they say, do you want to talk to the pharmacist? And they expect you to say no and go about your day, you say yes. You say, yes, I'd like to see the pharmacist. And then you say, is there anything that I need to know about foods or dietary supplements that I should not or should take with this particular medication? And, you know, if it's something you get refilled, you just have to ask that once and you don't have to ask them again. But yeah, for sure, I think in terms of interactions with meds, now the pharmacists probably get asked all the time, like, oh, I need to take a calcium supplement. Which one should I take? And they may or may not have helpful information, you know, and your doctors may be up to date and they may not. If you have access, and there are some, I guess, like there are some doctors who sort of do some integrative training, or they maybe have medical practices that are more functional medicine or integrative medicine. I'm a little cautious with those types of trainings to try to figure out if their business model is more about profit making than it is about evidence-based medicine. So to me, those are kind of keywords when you're talking with your doctor, like what is the current evidence-based or science, based recommendations around this particular product? Or if you just really trust that person, you want their opinion, just ask their opinion. You know, I think there's a difference between data and science and evidence and someone's opinion, even if it is, you know, like me, an expert opinion. You still need to kind of take that, recognizing it's someone's opinion, right? So I always tell my followers, hey, you know what? Anything I say, you should be able to go somewhere else and double check what I'm saying. And it should match or not match. If it doesn't, you can ask, you know, like it doesn't bother me if you're not going to believe me, but I'm also not selling you anything. So if I was selling you something, like maybe it would bother me if you didn't buy it. But so, yeah, I mean, all of that is mixed in. If you feel like your healthcare provider is somebody who's pretty on top of those things, then yes. And for sure, you want to make sure your medical provider knows what you're taking. Because they will tell you, don't do that during this particular treatment, or your medications are going to interact with that. So it's important that they know, even if they can't necessarily advise on any particular supplement, they will know what you should not take for sure.
You know, oftentimes in clinic, I can remember patients not ever saying they took supplements because they didn't consider that important enough to talk about. But I feel like, you know, it's one of those things you do need to bring up, and you need to bring a list or bring the bottles because they need to know as well.
And let me just say, if your bottles of supplement requires you to bring them in a trash bag size bag, I think you might be taking too many pills.
I would agree.
Pretty good likelihood. Pretty good likelihood. Now, the next question is one that I like, because I like to look at measuring things and checking on what we're doing. So you said, if I take this supplement, what am I looking for it to do, and how can I measure if it's working? Though that's pretty important.
Yes, it's important because if you can't find any other data, you know, this is data on yourself. Like this is, if you are wanting to take a supplement because you expect it to do something, we need to measure that. Otherwise, it can turn into you just throwing your money away. And I don't know about anybody else, but that's my favorite thing to do is not throw money away. So yeah, I mean, especially because if there's not a lot of strong data for or against this particular thing you might be considering, then it's up to you to sort of figure out, well, what makes this worth it to me? So there's lots of ways that you can track that. You can track it with right labs. That's something that's simple. Let's say you did a lab and it's like, your potassium's low, or it's a little on the low side, and your doctor's like, well, you don't need to take a supplement. It's on the low end of normal. But maybe you feel like, I would like to try it. You know, my friend told me they're taking potassium and it's really helped them with whatever. You know, if the doctor's like, well, it probably won't hurt you if you take a low dose or whatever, then go ahead and try it. But you want to measure, what is it that's going to be helping? Is it that you have muscle aches, or you have fatigue, or whatever it is that you think that's supposed to be helping? You're going to need to measure it. And that can be as simple as a scale that you check in with every day. It can be a log. You know, there's lots of apps that can measure side effects. And so that's a good way to do that. And that information is also super helpful for your medical team, so that if you do try something and you're like, it didn't really work, then that side effect or that symptom is probably something you want insight from your medical team about, in terms of, well, that didn't work, then is there something else that we could try for this?
So do you feel like there's fads with supplements? Like, you hear the magnesium, everybody needs magnesium.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to take
vitamin D. Vitamin D went through this huge period of time where it was like, everybody needs it. And oh, by the way, like, that when you get your labs checked and they say that normal's 25, that's not high enough. You know, then they have this whole debate about whether vitamin D should actually be higher and how much should you be taking and all of this stuff. So yeah, it's like kind of waxes and wanes in terms of what people are interested in. I think some of that is just dependent on what's currently in the research, right? Like, what are scientists looking at? And then they're publishing about it. And then the news media wants something to say that's interesting. And nutrition studies always get lots of clicks. So if they're reporting on the latest study and it's about magnesium, and oh, look, now the psychologists are like, oh, magnesium, maybe it's good to help you sleep. And then the exercise people are like, well, I think it helps with, you know, all of a sudden, if you have multiple groups kind of talking about it, and you're just like, let me have that. That sounds like a miracle food or a miracle, you know, pill. Let me just go ahead and try that. And, you know, it becomes sort of a cultural movement. And there, you know, I think we all have seen benefit from crowdsourcing. You know, I crowdsource social media when I need something or I need an idea or whatever. So there is benefit to having these sort of popular fads. And there's also major detrimental effects to popular fads, because if you're somebody who tends to jump on the bandwagon kind of early on everything, it's unlikely that all those things are going to be beneficial. And there can be harm had to, you know, maybe adopting something a little bit too early. Especially, you know, I see with people following diet trends, they can tend to just go from one to the next, which is just hard on your body. Your body needs kind of a regular routine and moderation and variety. And supplements can do the same. If you're taking really high doses of something and then you stop and then you change to something else, or, you know, that can be hard on your body. So I think that it's wise to be intentional about your, you know, nutrition and lifestyle strategies. And I would say you try something for 3 months before you decide whether it's working or not. A lot of times that's a good time frame if you're measuring lab values to see a change. So like cholesterol, you know, we might say, oh, your doctor wants you to take a medication. You don't want to take a medication. So, hey, I'm going to try to do this exercise program and I'm going to try this particular supplement or whatever. In 3 months, you're going to need to go back and check. And if that didn't work, you need to be prepared to do something different. And same thing with your side effects. If you're monitoring your fatigue or you're monitoring your pain levels, you know, you may see those actually a little bit quicker. Maybe a month in or a couple weeks in, you can start to see if there's a major change. But I would tend to give something 3 months.
I would bet too, Pam, you're talking about fads, you're talking about trends, you're talking about hot topics. You can't hardly go anywhere without seeing something about CBD. And I mean, that seems to be right, one of the big fads and trends.
You know, I feel like maybe it's waning down. I'm not totally sure, but yes, it's that. And I call that the Wild West, because if you think nutrition supplements are unregulated, which they have, you know, tiniest little bit of regulation, CBD is like no regulation whatsoever. And people think they're getting CBD when they order things, but you're ordering them from who are these people that you're ordering from? Even the pop-up shops, like who are those people? Where are they sourcing their stuff? Who put that together? How do you know that that is actually CBD that you're paying who knows how much for? I mean, yeah, that is a whole nother level of, I mean, I would call it chaos, that I think people are a little too trusting when it comes to, you know, it's funny because there's so much talk about the pharmaceutical industry being, you know, is that trustworthy or, you know, all these things. But there's just a lot of things out there that you have to, you know, use your brain and some common sense. And even if that's your friend, you know, recognize that we all have our biases and we all have our blind spots. And so, you know, you got to look for the facts and kind of dig in and figure things out. And I also say, you make choices for yourself. You do not make choices for the other person. The other person might say, yes, I'm going to order this CBD on the internet and I'm sure it's going to help me. And you can say, okay, let me know how that goes. And you say, that is not my style. And that is okay. You and your best buddy can do something completely different, and that's okay.
Right. I feel like with the cancer world, there's a lot of gimmicks or ways people are making money, and ultimately the patient is suffering.
Yes. Yes. Because, you know, when you have cancer or a lot of other chronic diseases too, you're pretty desperate to do whatever it takes. But you know, cancer diagnosis is so scary. I think that there's a lot of capitalism on that, fear and anxiety. And many people are well-intentioned, but some people are not, and they're very self-centered and really taking advantage of the emotional state that people are in.
Totally. Totally.
So the fourth point that you made on your webinar was, are there other options for achieving the same benefits?
Yes, quite possibly maybe the least popular question, because the honest truth is that sometimes when we're chasing something that comes in a pill form that feels a little bit more like a quick fix, what might actually benefit us more is something that requires a new habit or a little bit more time, that could give you a lot more benefit, but is harder to implement. So yes, when you are identifying what, you know, what am I looking for this particular product to do for me? And we're thinking, you know, this is our brainstorm. You put it down on paper. Is it fatigue? Is it poor sleep? Is it, you know, muscle fatigue or muscle soreness? What are some other things that maybe could help that? So, okay, maybe a supplement might be an option, but let's think about some of these other therapies that can be beneficial that are not medical treatments or pharmaceuticals, but they have been shown to be beneficial. And that's when kind of more of the integrative type of approach comes in, where you're looking at what can you do. It's not just receiving a treatment. So taking a pill is like the outside acting on the inside, but what can you do as a being to improve whatever this is? So for example, if it's that sleep is a challenge and you're looking for a sleep aid, but actually what you might need to do is some therapy to figure out what type of sleep issues are you having and what might be underlying that issue. Do you need to change some of your habits around going to bed? Do you need to change some of your habits around stress management? Are you getting enough exercise that makes your body and your mind physically tired enough to get a good night's sleep? So all of those questions where your overall well-being is not impacted solely by your nutrition status. And there's so many different pieces. So there's all kinds of different, you know, models of wellness wheels. But, you know, there could be 5 different things or 7 different things. But really considering all of the different components that might be interacting to contribute to this, whatever it is you're looking for. Now, for some people that are just like, oh, I read a headline and it says that, say, CBD is helpful for sleep. You know, I think there's a lot of other things that I would try before I tried that. And a lot of people, they're just like, oh, yeah, you're right. You know, if they're asking me my opinion or coming to see me, I would say that feels pretty risky. Let's explore some other things that might be helpful. And they're like, oh, yeah, they're fine with that. And some people are just dead set. They don't want to consider anything else. And that is your personal choice. Like that is your right as a human being to do. Is like, no, I have zero capacity to do any lifestyle change. I'm just going to try this, whatever it is. If it's an educated, you know, you looked at all the stuff, you answered all the questions, if you're being honest with yourself, I'm not going to do any of those other things anyway, then, you know, that's part of the decision making, is just being honest with yourself and how much you're willing to, you know, explore options.
And that can be very hard for patients. You know, we as Americans, I think, want a quick fix. So taking a pill is a whole lot easier than the lifestyle changes.
And it might be the right choice depending on the season you're in. You know, if you're having sleep issues and you're in the middle of treatment and it is not realistic to do a exercise program, or like, I mean, managing stress and having strategies is important, but nothing's going to take the fact away that you're in the middle of cancer treatment, you know? Yeah. And it might be that you need some Zoloft or whatever anti-anxiety or sleep aid that you can get. Potentially those sleep aids might help you sleep better than a supplement, you know, or a herbal or whatever. So yeah, I think that it takes some intentional conversation or self-reflection to boil down to what are the key, you know, problems that I'm trying to work on, in order to determine what the most appropriate solution is. And sometimes the sign that there is a problem is if you are seeking these quick fixes. If you are seeking a nutritional supplement because you feel like, oh, that, yeah, I want that, whatever it's claiming to do for you. And you're like, yes, I want that. That is a sign that whatever it is you're seeking is what you need to do some self-exploration around, and maybe pulling in some experts, either caregiver who can give an outside perspective, your medical team, you know, therapist, whatever, to help drill down to why is it that I was drawn to that.
Golly, there's a lot. I mean, some people think supplements, I mean, like, I'll be honest, you know, you walk down the supplement aisle and it's overwhelming. There's so many, as you mentioned, there might be 15 versions of each one of these in varying micro units and dosages and et cetera. But let's talk about kind of boiling this down into an action plan. You know, what's the nuts and bolts here that our listeners should really focus on making these decisions, helping them make this decision?
Yes. All right. So my brain works like a flow chart. You know, science, engineering, math, all of that. So how I think of it is I kind of ask, I go through those 4 questions, right? So we kind of drilled down. These are the things to know. You've got that information. Okay. So if you have evidence that whatever therapy you're looking at is suggested a benefit, that's pretty straightforward then. We can go ahead and give it a, you know, 3-month trial and monitor things. The second one would be, it hasn't been studied. So this is probably more common. It's more common that what you're looking at hasn't really been studied much. Not very good data. You know, the clearinghouses of information will use terms like may benefit. You know, that kind of means like maybe, but we don't really know. So that's where this category falls in. Not really know. But there's no indication that it's going to cause you harm. if you have the money to do this, and you're, then it's worth a try. I think do your trial of 3 months and track your symptoms. If though the particular therapy has not really been studied or the data seems mixed and it might cause harm, I would probably check out of that one. I am not willing, based on my knowledge regarding nutritional supplements and seeing those aisles and just wanting to roll my eyes and be like, why do people buy these things? I am not willing to take on the risk of something being potentially harmful, because I think there's a lot of other things you can do with your lifestyle to get benefit. So for me, that category is no. And then this therapy, or it has been studied and was shown to cause harm or provide no benefit, I think that's a clear no. But if you've got someone like a friend selling it to you, you know, a lot of people do these home businesses and they're sort of pyramid or multi-level marketing, and they really want you to buy it because you feel like you want to support them. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have the money, you can always buy from your friend, but not actually take it. That way you get the benefit of like being a good buddy if you're a more of a people pleaser type, but not taking that risk on. And I will say too, you can look up, you know, supplements. There are ways that they can get third party testing. Now some supplement companies will invent their own third party testing. So the more credible third party like seals, like if you are at the, you know, the supermarket or Costco or wherever you're walking down those aisles, I tend to look for the USP, which is US Pharmacopoeia, sign on the bottle. It's a third party, or the NSF International. So it'll say USP or it'll say NSF. You can also look at consumerlab.com. So Consumer Lab does not evaluate the effectiveness of a particular product, but they do evaluate the truth telling of the company that's selling it to you. So they will evaluate, does this product have in it what this company is telling you is in it? And that is a really important question, because if you're going to pay money, you better be getting what they say you're getting. But because of this lack of regulation, you really can't just take that for granted. You have to have it proven to you before. So those are my categories. It's like, you know, just an easy yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Which bucket does it fall in? If it's going to be beneficial and it's not going to cause harm, then I'm in the sure, we'll try it and see if it helps me with whatever it is that I'm tracking. If it is possibly going to cause harm, or for sure will cause harm, that's in the no bucket.
You know, you talked about lifestyle changes. You know, Ryan, we have a lot of things that we can help with here at the center. And we might not be able to tell you if your supplement is right for you, but we do have lifestyle changes such as Tai Chi, relaxation, yoga, a nutrition class. And, you know, the benefit of coming, it's all free. So you don't have to waste your money.
That's right. You know, Julie mentioned she hit on exercise, and everybody always goes, oh, exercise. It can be at varying levels. We're not talking about, you know, running a 5K on the treadmill, Pam, you know, right? We're talking about being active at the level where you are. And again, we're not going to lead you into an area and just kind of turn you loose. As you've heard in one of our previous podcasts this year about Olivia, our gym manager is there to help guide you, help walk you through, teach you and show you and make sure you're doing everything functionally correct and that you're being safe and you're getting the benefits that you need. And I mean, what a blessing it is to have a full gym for our survivors and their caregiver or loved one. And again, right, Pam, it's free.
Yes. You know, it just takes a little bit of your time. So if you're thinking supplements might not help you, but you feel like these other activities might, please make sure you join us.
That's right. You know, Julie, you mentioned a lot of resources, you know, the American Institute for Cancer Research. We've talked about Memorial Sloan Kettering. Are there any other out there that you'd like to, little nuggets you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Well, you know, I have cancerdietitian.com, so I always put that in there.
Yes.
But I don't give evidence-based guidelines, right? Like, I take the evidence-based guidelines and I just make them maybe easier to understand.
That's right.
So I am not like the ultimate resource. So yes, AICR is one of my favorites, the American Institute for Cancer Research. The American Cancer Society has great information that's vetted and, you know, evidence-based. And then Memorial Sloan Kettering, I think, and your own treatment center's website may have resources. Some sites are just more useful than others. That's just how it is. So you all probably know of if there's local resources to you. But those are the ones that I tend to look to for updated and unbiased, you know, information.
Julie, you have shared a lot with our listeners, and I appreciate you coming on. That leads us to our last segment. We are sponsored by the Auto Inc. family. Do you have an Auto Inc. inspiring story that you could share with our listeners?
Yeah, so I think especially when it comes to like this particular topic, that there are a lot of people. So a lot of my clients come into me very concerned about their nutrition status. They want to do whatever it takes. And they tend to find maybe not the most reliable information on the internet or from word of mouth that hasn't been vetted. So I have one particular client in mind who actually I've never met in person. She follows me on my website. She attends my webinars and that sort of thing. And I just remember her talking about how when she was able to key in to some of the more common sense evidence-based nutrition guidelines, how much that helped to lower her anxiety. And she had a propensity towards more disordered eating habits and maybe chasing some of those fads that we talked about. And as she got more focused in on some of the legitimate science-based nutrition guidelines, that she not only felt well from a nutritional standpoint, but her mental health was much better as she wasn't constantly like chasing after the latest fad in a more anxious state of mind. So those are the stories that kind of keep me going, keep me doing what I do is to try to, because there's always new people facing diagnosis. And if we can help connect them to the, I think like the most reliable and least anxiety producing places that they have so much better quality of life. And we all know that, you know, even with a cancer diagnosis, you can do things to help improve your quality of life and live healthy, you know, with and beyond cancer.
There's a lot of truth right there. Going through cancer is causes enough anxiety to not have to worry about, am I getting this or should I take that or where do I find this? I mean, it just, there's enough of that already. To try to lessen that load is key.
Absolutely.
Well, Julie, you know, this is one of those episodes, Pam, that I say often is like, I'm going to have to go back and re-listen, look at, you know, go back to these websites. There's a lot of homework built into this episode is what I'm getting at.
Yes. Julie, can you give our listeners your website where they can look at your research or your blog and your webinars?
Yes. So I'm cancerdietitian.com and I do programs throughout the year, webinars every other month. I'm currently in the middle of an email based program to help people increase their fruit and vegetable intake called Eat the Rainbow. And my webinar audio is also put on the Cancer Dietitian podcast. So if you're more of a listener and less of a webinar watcher, you can listen to the audio or you can watch it or I can. You know, maybe that's what people need for their sleep plan is just to turn on my webinars and I can talk them to sleep.
And absorb it through osmosis. Yeah,
exactly. I'll put you to sleep or keep you company while you fold your laundry.
Yeah.
You have great information and I appreciate what you do for all your patients. So thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Do absolutely. Pam, I do want to throw in one thing here and, you know, someone may say, but don't y'all have a dietitian, you know, and we do, and Rachel is wonderful, but here's where I'm going with this. Rachel and Julie are cut from the same cloth. They love the American Institute for Cancer Research. She just said, eating the rainbow. We've heard that. Mixing in colors. These are all podcasts for another day, but I know Julie is a fan of plant-based diet, and I know Rachel is as well. We've talked about that on countless occasions. So, this is not something that, you know, our dietitian that we work with would go, gosh, I can't believe none of that's true. I can't believe that.
Why do you have that crazy dietitian on?
She's nuts, you know? So, I want to make sure all of our listeners know, these dietitians, they are specialized in oncology. They get it. They understand. They have your best interest in mind. And that's why we come to experts like this to share that information.
I'm Rachel approved.
Rachel approved.
Great.
Or maybe Rachel is Julie approved. That may
exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you again, Julie, for joining us. Thank you guys for listening. Pam, another great episode. I know that our listeners can get lots of nuggets from this one.
Absolutely.
You know, last thing I'll say before we close is if you have any questions about dietary things, maybe you have some more questions about supplements. Maybe you have a question about what is a plant-based diet? We heard you talk about this. What do we need to do? Call us. Let us get you in touch with our dietitian. We provide her services to you free of charge, just like everything else. Whether it's a one-on-one session or whether it's coming to her nutrition class, she's got a fantastic kitchen here at our new center, right, Pam?
It is. It's state-of-the-art.
Very state-of-the-art. It's wonderful. Get your questions answered. Call us. Let us know. That number is 806-331-2400. Let us know how we can help you, and then make sure you join us next time for another great episode of Beyond the Ribbon.
Thanks again for listening to Beyond the Ribbon. We'd like to extend a special thanks to the Auto Inc. family of dealerships, as they have supported the 24 Hours in the Canyon Cancer Survivorship Center since 2016. For more information on the Cancer Survivorship Center, please visit our website at 24survivorship.org.